Thank you. I'll call this meeting of the Annexation and Zoning Committee to order. Attendance of full committee members, Marcus Hanson, Lindsay Stelman, Mary Westfall, me, the other members, council, mayor, and law director, a full house of people here. And the purpose of this is to discuss the Smith Group proposal to reformulate our downtown zoning code. And let me give you some background into this. Leslie and Kevin and I and Bill, you were there as well, right?
Yes.
And had a meeting with Michelle. This proposal has been hanging around for a while. Mark also asked me to get this moving and get some sort of decision on it. And I will tell you that Michelle feels very strongly that coming out of our downtown development plan that we would benefit from not so much a rewrite. There is some rewriting, but a restructuring of our zoning code to focus so that a downtown, someone who's interested in doing a development in our downtown would have, if you will, single-stop shopping to review the regulations and determine how things would go. Kevin's not here, but I'll let Leslie speak for herself on this. But I think the impression that I got coming out of our meeting is that the three of us were not opposed to moving forward, but we weren't convinced that it was necessary to move forward. And Leslie, I'll give you a chance to comment on that. But I think part of the problem, I'll be honest with you, is that the three people who were talking to Michelle were the three people that have been doing zoning in the city, and we've done planned unit developments, we have a lot of confidence in Kevin and Tim. And, when developers come to Sylvania and meet with our administrative staff, I think they find a very friendly and cooperative administrative staff that directs them the right way. And so to the extent that they want to do something that is maybe not squarely within our zoning code, they work with them to design something. And we have adopted a large number of planned unit developments over the years. We had to redo our zoning code and redevelop the plan for SOMO. And I think that process was very productive. I think the developer was very comfortable with it. I think our community was very comfortable with it. And most importantly, what I really like about that is that at the end of the day, we knew exactly what we were getting. It wasn't that he was complying with the zoning code. He was complying with the plans that he showed us that we reviewed and approved. And when we do a plan development like that, what they propose is what we can enforce. I'm frequently reluctant to do zoning changes from R1 to B2 because I'd rather do an R1 do an R1 planned unit development, and then if that doesn't happen, we can't put all the other B2 uses in that site necessarily, without coming back to council. So I have, so I will admit to having that, if you will, prejudice or that predetermined idea about the proposal. Kim, do you or Leslie want to comment on this at all? Share anything?
I think you've done a good job summarizing our meeting with her. It was just, we do have design guidelines and things in our code. I think that were adopted in 2015. No, emergency. So I know some of you were around and some of you weren't for that process, but we went through a pretty comprehensive process adopting architectural districts and redoing those in 2015. So, and as Doug said, I think overall the process has worked well, and I don't think there's a concern by developers that they can't work with us or that there is confusion.
So I have a quick question. First of all, I feel like I'm so foggy on this. I've read the proposal many times. It was just so long ago.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that there was maybe one meeting in the mix that I may have missed. So I feel not clear. But is there something that was concerning, Michelle, about our current guidelines or code and process?
I think is what Doug said is just kind of, she just felt it could be more user-friendly, a one-stop kind of look at this is what's permitted, these are what the requirements are. And I think there were some things that were identified in the downtown master plan for future uses of property that she maybe wanted to incorporate as a permitted use now.
And if we were to move forward with the code, you know, redoing the downtown code, mm-hmm. does that mean we would not have the opportunity to revisit a special use issue and massage it to fit our downtown area, maybe?
We could certainly retain that. That's what we have, how it currently exists for certain uses in the downtown, and we could definitely tell her that that's a priority, that we want to retain that. Bill, did you want to add something?
Yes, just to add that we asked Michelle for the proposal. There were comments at a council meeting about it, so she didn't come bring it. By the way, I want to talk to you about it. We asked her for the proposal after comments at a council meeting.
Okay.
So let me make two other observations. One is, I think Michelle understood that we had this strong zoning administration within, you know, within the city. But as she pointed out, you know, that won't be there forever. And this might be a good opportunity for us to incorporate some of that. She also, I'm not sure, had a comprehensive understanding of our downtown architectural review committee and how that functions. You know, Craig being on the leading the planning commission on this, you know, we have a very talented planning commission with and you know, with an architect present in the room at all times. And, I think we do a pretty good job historically in dealing with these development issues. One of the things that she wanted to include in the code were a lot more, possibly more detail about building materials and that would be approved and or would be acceptable. And we have historically implemented that through our architectural review committee and through the planning process within the administration. She also pointed out that she thought we had some litigation risk with a developer. If developer came in and wanted to do something and was not able to negotiate an acceptable plan with our administration, with our Board of Architectural Review, that we might have some litigation risk there. I'm not sure how to quantify that. I mean, I've been, I've only been here for 20 years, but we've never had, we've never gotten sued over that type of thing. You know, that I can't say that risk doesn't exist, but I can say it's one that we haven't.
I could, you could say that it could exist the other way, put the new code in, there could still be litigation if somebody disagrees. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody can hire a lawyer.
But I've got a couple questions about this. The first one is this idea that we have a code and we have generally been fairly open to talking with people to then make a special exception for them in a special area. I'm wondering what that does to the long-term cohesiveness of our downtown if we have these pockets of different exceptions for special developers that happen to come along. For example, the SOMO zone is allowed to have apartments that I think are as small as 650 square feet, which is not allowed in the rest of the area. And let's say going through this extra process as friendly and responsive and wonderful as our administration is currently and hopefully would continue to be, right, as we, best as we can assure, that seems like something that would benefit larger developers and maybe not help with smaller developers. And I do believe that the central part of our downtown is a lot of its character and strength comes from having a number of smaller developers and owners be able to actively make changes as needed. So I'm wondering, one, about the piecemeal nature and its long-term effects, both on the consistency and character, though I love the ability to adapt when something special does come along. But I also wonder if it's catering too much towards larger versus also supporting smaller.
Well, I don't know what, my experience, Leslie, you can talk to this, or Tim, you know, what's been our experience? I don't think we've, you know, I think we've worked with various sizes of developers relatively well. Don't get me wrong, I mean, I read the code. She sent us a sample code for
Dearborn.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any glaring problems with it. I think I didn't spend an inordinate amount of time with it. I didn't fly spec it. I did read through it. And it is, and what it does, the more detail you have in your zoning code, the easier it is for a developer to pigeonhole his development within the code. But the flip side of that is that if you read that Dearborn code, there's a lot of specificity in there, okay, which means that you don't have the flexibility to do some of the things that you might want to do. And that flexibility is ultimately exercised by this council in terms of adopting any special plan. So what prevents us from losing that character is us, as opposed to trying to anticipate everything and get it into the code. Now, the other thing that I would point out, Kevin pressed her a little bit on the pricing, and it was pretty clear that there was There wasn't any flexibility on the pricing. I mean, it's not an inordinate large amount of money, but it's not nothing either. I mean, I think the easy answer is, let's do it, see what she comes up with, and we'll review it and see if we like it. I mean, that's the easy answer. And that might be where we want to go. Let's have her get started, and then we can look at it and decide if we like it or decide how we want to change it. To do this right, we are going to have to dig in on this and make sure that what we come up with is what we want for our city. So I think this is certainly an undertaking for Smith Group. It would also be, I think, a significant undertaking for us to do it right. And I'm certainly willing to do that.
I think that we always win by having stakeholder input conversations and public meeting conversations. I think that's always a win-win as things move forward. And again, we review her recommendations.
Yeah.
And I think, Lindsay, your point, I don't know about large versus small businesses, how that works, but some consistency downtown would be a good conversation. I don't know that how much detail, how much specific, you know, Dearborn sense, but maybe the extreme side of specific, but something that gives some guidelines of consistency might, so we have a unified feel of some sort downtown, might be interesting to see what she would come up with. And, you know, Doug, you had the benefit of the additional conversation with her as well, it seems, so I would definitely support moving forward with this. And, you know, you hate to look back 10 years, 20 years and say, oh, if only we had put that code together, we wouldn't have that great big green building sitting in the middle of downtown, right? So, Marcus, I don't know if you've got any.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only downfall in my mind is the cost. You know, I don't see anything that would not be beneficial to doing this. I think the feedback would be nice to see. It's just a cost aspect from my mind.
Well, I think that the cost is always something we want to be sensitive to and cautious about. But I think downtown is very visible, and if it doesn't land in a healthy, comfortable place, there will be a different cost to pay.
How much did we spend on the master planning process? Does anyone remember offhand?
I don't remember that. I know the last time we took over on it, our architectural review guidelines and stuff in 2014, that was $23,000.
Just if this is, if part of the purpose of doing this, let's call it a refreshed look at our downtown zoning. It's maybe not necessarily a complete redo or anything, but I think it's a chance to see, maybe for some of us who might be less familiar with it or to get other, as Mary said, stakeholder inputs, to see how it aligns with the master plan that we spent a lot of time and money working on. This seems almost like a continuation of that. And I would be comfortable, I think, supporting this for that amount as a way to, I guess, follow up with the work we've already done and to have that opportunity to have these discussions and know going forward confidently that I'm comfortable with where we are, whether it's staying similar to where we are or if there's other changes that we go. But we get to determine the amount of detail, I would think, and the process for how much review there needs to be by this council.
If I may, Mr. Hanel.
Absolutely.
My suggestion, and I agree with you, Marcus, this is a lot of money. But we're getting ready to consider the investment of millions of dollars in our downtown footprint over the next couple of years. And my experience with any sort of a building project is that when you do something of that magnitude, there's a lot of interest that's going to be garnered from outside our local region. And I don't know that this is the right proposal. I don't know if this is the right approach. I'll let the committee make that determination, but in my mind, making sure that we're ready to hit the ground running when we have that ribbon cutting, or whenever that is, to go with whatever, because we're going to have, I suspect, national, I agree with Ms. Stowe, we need to be flexible for smaller developers, but there's also the possibility we're going to attract somebody or somebodies with some deep pockets to come in and do a very significant project. What I don't want to have us have is to be eliminated off a list because, and I don't know that our current zoning code does this, but I don't want us to be eliminated off of a list by an intern or a first-year employee of some big national developer because we didn't check the right series of boxes for the downtown footprint when they are looking at putting a $50 million project or two in the Midwest. And I don't know that this gets us there, but I think we're going to raise the stakes when, as we consider the downtown transportation improvements, which is going to attract a lot of attention. So whether it's not, whether it's this or whether it's something else, whatever it is, we want to be prepared for day, to hit the ground running on day one, because that's going to create a lot of interest.
Was there, and I may have missed it if it's in here, was there any kind of timetable given?
There are scope, she has a scope of services of what she's going to do. I forget if there was a time. I don't remember. We talked to her about timing.
Yeah, she's in the proposal, it just says the schedule, they'll set the schedule within 2 weeks of the contract authorization. So,
and then it'll be submitted to us to review and approve it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember what she said when we talked with her about how long.
Yeah. And the only reason I asked it is coinciding with Mr. Fry's comments. I mean, we would want to make sure that this is done
in place before.
Exactly.
Yep, I understand.
Brian, you have any thoughts?
I think it's prudent for us to, as Mr. Fry said, to have more of our ducks in a row when we're proceeding further with our multi-million dollar redo.
Okay, well, sensing consensus, Patrick, do you have anything?
Nothing that hasn't already been said.
Okay. Well, then, I guess the... what I'm sensing from the room is that we ought to move to ask the law director to prepare legislation to adopt, to enter into this contract.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry, didn't hear your second.
We're going to have to work on your hearing aids next.
Yeah. Believe me, there's a large group that's interested. Okay, well, that's all I have. So I would entertain a motion to close our zoning.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.